Our scripture lesson this morning comes from the book of John, chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. So listen for the word of God. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." And Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." And Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" And Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh. What is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" And Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." The word of the Lord.
I love to watch children's stories. And one of my favorites is a more recent story that's come out called Encanto. How many of you have seen Encanto? Anybody seen Encanto? A couple people. All right. Well, I'm going to tell you the story. There's going to be lots of spoilers for those of you who haven't seen it. But the story of Encanto is such a beautiful story about a family and about a village. Now, this family is really special, because many, many years ago, the two parents, who are Latin-speaking, have to flee their village. They are run out of their village as refugees, and they're searching for a new home where they can be safe. And in fleeing their native town, they are chased, and the father stays behind as a distraction so that the mother and the rest of the family and the rest of the village can escape. And as a part of that, as a result of that, a great miracle happens, and a huge Encanto, this huge mountain, this valley, forms around his family and around this town. And his family, he has three children, all receive very special gifts, miracles, if you will. And each one has a special miracle that pertains to them. One of them can heal you by feeding you something delicious, like a biscuit or a cookie. And one of them can make the weather change just by her emotions. Some of us may not want to hang around her too much. And the last one has the gift of prophecy. Now, they have children, and those children grow up and have gifts of their own. But there's one grandchild who doesn't seem to get a gift. She's just normal. You see, all these other gifts of being able to hear sounds from really far away, hearing conversations at the other end of the village, or maybe being able to change your shape into someone else, or maybe you can talk to animals. All of these special gifts that the cousins are given. But Mirabelle is the second youngest grandchild, but she does not seem to have a gift. How many of us feel like that sometimes? Well, we didn't get the gift. We didn't get the memo, right? Or at least it's not as grand and obvious as some other people's gifts seem to be. And Mirabelle has a really hard life because she's trying to prove herself, not only to the community, but to her family, that she belongs in this family, even though she did not receive a gift. And she spends much of the story looking for a miracle. One of her best songs is Waiting on a Miracle. I'm just waiting for a miracle. When am I going to get my miracle? I'm just waiting. I'm ready. I think Nicodemus, from our story today, is very much like Mirabelle. Here he is, a leader of the Jews, and he has heard all of these stories about Jesus, and he's just waiting for his turn. But he's got a problem. As a leader of the Jews, he's also a leader in the eyes of the Romans, who are now occupying his land. So he has to be sneaky, and he has to go at night to talk to Jesus. And he asks Jesus, I hear about all of these miracles that you are performing, and I want to see a miracle. I want to see proof of who you are. I think we all do that too, don't we? When we go to God in prayer, or when we see things happening in our world, we say, God, where is the miracle? So many miracles we read about in the Bible. Where is our miracle? We want that proof. The problem is that the miracle that we often seek out to find isn't always the one that we get, is it? With Mirabelle, in the story of Encanto, she goes on a journey to try to figure out what is happening in her family, because she's so close with all of her family, even though she doesn't get along with everybody. We've all been there, right? But she really wants to know why it seems like the family is on the very edge, the very precipice of disaster. And so she goes and she talks to her siblings and she talks to her cousins, and she actually finds the one family member who had to go into hiding because everyone was afraid of him, her uncle, the prophet. And so together, they set out on this journey to find out what Mirabelle's gift is. What is it about her that is hinging on this near disaster? But the amazing thing is that Mirabelle's gift isn't like anybody else's. Her miracle isn't something grand and obvious, something that we look up to and admire and want to be like all the time. Her gift, her miracle is simple. Her miracle is her family. She has become a leader in her family. She is the one that holds the family together. That is her miracle. With Nicodemus, it's very much the same thing. Nicodemus goes looking for something grandiose. He wants to see someone healed. He wants to see water turned into wine. He wants to see something amazing. As I said in our children's message, we all go to a magic show looking for something spectacular, right? But Jesus' miracle for Nicodemus is something that's not obvious, except that it's standing right in front of him. See, Jesus is Nicodemus' miracle. Every single one of us in this room is a miracle. I don't know who it was that said it, but I remember this quote about how all of the little pieces of the universe that had to come together to form us is so rare that every single person in here, the moment you were conceived, you became a miracle. Even today, you're not the same little pieces of stardust that you were inside the womb. You are very different now. And every little part of you is so special. Now, we may not all have grandiose miracles, like the ability to sing so beautifully, the ability to speak in public, the ability to heal people, the ability to nurture people with food. We may not have these big, obvious miracles, but each and every single one of us is a miracle. We all have special gifts, whether they are obvious or not, that God has given to us. And the greatest miracle of all, Jesus Christ came here to dwell among us, to be with us, to walk the roads that we walk, to face the same challenges that we face, to stare all of those challenges in the eye and say, you know what? That's not what I had in mind. And that's not what we have in mind. You see, all of these things that seem to happen that we have no control over, God is saying, I've got a plan. And you're a part of it. Your voice is important. Your words and your actions are a miracle. And when we put all of our miracles together, we become the body of Christ. Let us go to God in prayer. Almighty and loving God, we thank you for the miracle of your Son, Jesus. We thank you for the miracle of your love that is all-encompassing and all-sustaining for every single one of us. We pray, O God, that as we go out into this world, a world that is scary, a world that is built by us humans, that is imperfect, that you would shine your light through us, so that we might be a witness to your amazing and powerful love in this place. All these things we ask in the name of your most precious Son. Amen.